I must say I have certainly been moved by the spirit of worship that is in this place. You see, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. I say this at home, that when you begin to praise and worship the Lord, you are actually building a throne for God to sit. In the Old Testament, before the priests would sit on his work, he would make sure that his ministerial duties were accomplished. When you begin to praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness, you are building a throne for God to sit. However, before he sits, he's going to minister to your need. If you need a healing in your body, you praise and worship him. For he is the God that healeth thee. He inhabits the praises of his people. The 100th Psalm says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Hallelujah. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations. When you praise him, that takes you to the next step.
That's right.
And I have witnessed that here in this place, this evening, and that's called worship. You see, everything that has breath can praise the Lord. But in order to worship him, you must know him. The name that worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
Certainly we thank God for the praise and worship team here at Agape. Great the atmosphere conducive for the spirit of the Lord to be with us. I was in the car with Elder Camp and Evangelist Camp and Minister Simon, I believe he called on. They called him, and I heard just a little bit of the conversation with Dr. Hopper, and we're talking about praise and worship rehearsal. I said to Minister Simon, I said, work them hard. Amen. And I tell you, we see the result of what God is doing when people come in with a mind ready to praise and worship God. I just believe God is going to do something great tonight. I thank the Lord for my wife, Evangelist. You may be seated. Linda Hayes, not my number one, but my only one.
All right.
Our grandson, Cameron Keith Benton, being here with us tonight. Evangelist and Elder McKinnon, God bless you. Thank God for you. Members of the church pastor in the beautiful city of Epsilon, Georgia. And I must say that I was in tears. The sacrifice that Elder McKinnon made for my wife and I to be here with you tonight. A tremendous sacrifice. To all the pastors, the one and only theologian, Dr. Hopper. Pastor Terry. And our Pastor Gilmore. And all of your wives, would you stand, please? Let's put your hands, put our hands together. All of your wives. And bless you. And I believe there are other pastors that are here. Would you please stand? Well, God bless you. We covered everyone except the honorees of tonight. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the shepherds of this fine assembly. Want to say to you that my wife and I have enjoyed our stay with you. Everything has just been lovely. You serve with the spirit of excellence. Thank God for Sister Patricia behind the scenes, making sure that everything happened. I must say and concur with Evangelist McKinnon, we are certainly looking forward to seeing you at the Light of the World Conference in October. As we enter into the Word of the Lord, I ask that you pray with us and ask God to reveal Himself. Father, we thank you and we praise you right now. We thank you just for being who you are, in all of your glory, in all of your splendor. We ask that you speak through us. Speak, God, until doubting men becomes believers. Speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, the word of the Lord is going to come from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16. And we're going to ask that you once again stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. The Lord has charged me to speak to this church from this passage of Scripture. And we pray that you would receive it and everyone apply. The 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and and other Jeremiahs are one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Tonight's message, the permanency of the church. The permanency of the church. You may be seated. In today's time, there are a lot of various degrees of directions and establishments that associate itself and label itself as the church. I find it intriguing, very interesting, that in this exposition, Jesus is firmly solid. He's firmly solid on the church establishment and how the church is defined.
All right.
Whenever, and I think that we as a church, and I'm speaking of the corporate body, not just this setting here, but we as apostolics, we must not lose our identity.
All right.
Whenever we have a problem defining or identifying who we are, then others will identify who you are.
Yes.
The inability to define or identify yourself causes others to take up the task and identify you.
All right.
The apostolic church must never leave to others the power to define or identify who she is. As we look at this text, I believe that it's good, even though we live in a contemporary society, it's good for us to revisit this foundation upon this rock. Simply because of the fact that there are so many entities that have gone astray from this truth. And so therefore we find that Jesus gave a warning. He said, consider the leaven of the Pharisees. Consider the false teaching. False teaching is so great among us. But the fact is that the church, the significance of the church, not by definition, most of us feel, not the building so much Jesus is establishing. He's not talking about a building. It's not about the number of people you have? No, that's not it. He's not talking about a building. The church that he's talking about is established by him. And there can be no, glory be to God, improvement upon that foundation. There can only be a building on because Jesus, watch what he does. Jesus so methodically unraveled the mindset of humanity when he raised the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What he does here is knowing all the time that we are oftentimes influenced by the opinions of others. We also know that not only are we influenced by opinions of others, but if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves forming doctrines, hallelujah, around others' opinions. And so therefore, the opportunity for us to establish a doctrine, quote unquote, hallelujah, then become somewhat vague. And so, if it's not founded upon the right foundation, then the validity of the establishment will lose its essential purpose as God had designed. And so he says to them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I don't think that Jesus raised this question because he doesn't know. No, I think that the question was raised because he wanted them to know that he was aware of some of their personal opinions. You know how it is. You got a whole lot of folk in the church who got an opinion about the church. And so he says, who do men say that I am? In other words, Jesus is saying, confess to me. Tell me what you've been believing. Confess to me what you have been agreeing with others who don't know anything about what I'm about to establish. Tell me what you've been hearing. It's another way of saying, tell me what's been on your mind, what you've been thinking, because even though these disciples are not fully aware of Jesus' purpose, they are only associating themselves with Jesus because of the things he does. They have somewhat of an idea. Have you ever watched people in the church? Hallelujah. They have an idea. You know, pastors can agree with this. People in the church, they have an idea how the church ought to work. They have an idea how the church is supposed to run. Hallelujah. And so what you have oftentimes is a whole lot of little opinions running around in the church. Oh God. But Jesus, he gets to the bottom of this when he raised the question. Hallelujah. What's been said? They say that some say that thou art John the Baptist. You got to understand what they're saying here, what they mean here. That means that John the Baptist, who has been beheaded, is now raised from some say that thou art Jeremiah. Oh God, Elijah. Let me tell you that the danger in human speculation when it comes to the church of the living God, it will prevent the authentic truth of what the church is all about. You got to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, how you go on what some say. Oh God, this church, Agape, did not exist for 6 years. It was not established on what some say. For some said that you wouldn't be here today. But ain't God good? Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. My God, why? Because what I feel the Holy Spirit here, because what some say didn't have any foundation. Church. Hallelujah. My God, I want you to know that the church of the living God is permanent. Hallelujah. What some say does not have any progress at all. Some say, but at this moment, it presents a golden opportunity for the master to interpose himself in the midst of opinions. You've been in the midst of opinions. Hallelujah. It presents the opportunity for God to intervene into this opinionated fashion. You see, I want you to understand that this is not the first time that this happened. You got to understand that Jesus, knowing who he is, already know what purpose that he comes. But what I'm trying to say to you tonight, that you got to be careful about what you hear folks say. Agape, you got to be careful about what people are saying when it comes to the church of the living God. And so in this passage, Jesus gives us an insight to the danger of human speculation. You remember when he went up to the Jordan to be baptized. Hallelujah. John seeing him in the distance, saying that, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Hallelujah. God said, I got to do something here. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove, anointed him. And from that point on, Jesus began his earthly mission. And at that point, he began temptation against himself. He allowed it to come. Hallelujah. I want to say this about the church today. The church is going to take some knocks. The church is going to take some bruises. Temptation is going to come in every way, in every form of fashion. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that the church is permanent. I want you to know that the church is not going anywhere. I don't care what they say. Hallelujah. I don't care. Jesus says that this is my church. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thou art who? Now, why did he call him Simon? Jesus Christ for the remission, for the removal, for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, the church has a promise. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I love this connection. Not only will I build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. In other words, Satan and all his kingdom cannot prevail. Satan and all of his kingdom cannot destroy the church of the living God. What some say cannot destroy this adopted church.
Don't you give up? Don't
Delta 2, this is Alpha 2, Delta 2, wave them pin down. And I need some help. In other words, I need some backup. Hold on. God bless you, everyone.